are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, don't argue with me, it is. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show, it goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Inspire Advisors. So Inspire Advisors, if you're not familiar, they are so cool at what they do. Inspire Advisors are the kind of folks who can help you to grow your bottom line, literally help you increase your investments, at the same time showing you how to invest in things that are also aligned with your core beliefs. You may be shocked to find out the stuff in your portfolio without even knowing it supports abortion or pornography or other things that you just cannot even possibly align yourself with. Well, that's because they are experts. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors are experts in what is known as biblically responsible investing. I mean, they can literally show you how to pick and choose in accordance with your desire to increase capacity, but also support things that you're comfortable with and proud of even. If you want to know more about what's in your portfolio for free, they will sit down with you, talk it through, help you to see it, and they no fuss, no muss, no upsell. All you got to do is go to their website and ask for an opportunity. Its website is www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or just too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio sponsors. Click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. But yeah, this is financial freedom, y'all. It's godly. It's conservative. It's Inspire Advisors. So please check them out. All right, this is one of my favorite times of the week where I get together with two people that have a lot to do with this show just being successful, period. And so let me call the roll right now. On the line with us right now, the lovely Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I am here.
You are indeed. How's the injury, by the way? Are you hobbling?
Still hobbling, yes.
Still hobbling. Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're with us. And the Butter Man. Butters, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Phil, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. All right. I got a quorum. I pronounce another episode of Butters and Lee. Get me a whoop whoop. Did we lose the whoop whoop? John may be taking points off of the delayed reaction on the whoop whoop. I don't know what's happening.
I couldn't find the button. My brain was fried right there.
All right.
I know how it is. I know how it is, Big Rig.
Don't try and rescue him now. He's got to be flogged with a wet noodle here or something. All right, you guys, first question for you. So next Tuesday is the first and probably only debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. I think it's Tuesday night. So let me ask you, so just literally speaking, knowing that they're going to be on stage together, what are your hopes, dreams, fascinations, imaginations, your fears, your insights? What are your senses about the upcoming event between Kamala and the Donald? Lee, you first.
By the way, I swear I can exactly recreate that sound effect. If you ever just need it, I can do it on the fly.
next time he can't find the button, you just go ahead and yell it in the microphone.
So I think personally, I think she's going to be alerted ahead of time of the questions. The media is just a de facto wing of the Democrat Party at this point. And I think they are desperate, and I mean desperate, to keep her relevant in this race. They can see she's not doing as well. Everybody needs to keep in mind that Hillary Clinton was way ahead at this point in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2015. She was ahead. So the fact that they're dead, even in, because they always oversample Democrats in these polls, and the fact that she's they're either tied or she's even one or two behind, it's not looking good for her. So
how do you think she's going to do on stage?
I think they'll feed her the questions. So she'll be prepared for the questions. But what she's not going to be prepared for is any follow-ups or any comments that have to be addressed by President Trump. And I think you're going to see two different Kamalas. You're going to see an answer that's been extremely practiced on a question they're asking. But then follow-up, she's going to stumble, fumble, and word salad her way through it. So you're going to see both of those things, and you're going to wonder, why does she sound so good at this answer? But then on follow-up, she sounds like the normal Kamala. So I think you'll you're going to see both of those things. Or something comes out of left field, she is going to straight up not know what to say.
Okay, so butters, what was my litany? It was like hopes, dreams, imaginations, fascinations, fears, insights. What do you think about coming out of it?
I think it's going to be a show.
Do you really?
I think the show is going to come afterwards with all sorts of fiction and spinning and who knows what they're going to talk about how great she did. I'm looking at her website right now. There's still nothing.
No policies.
About policies. So I maybe she'll talk some. Or maybe she's just being unburdened by what has been. I don't know. I mean, is she going to get some? No doubt they're doing something to prepare her. I would guess, if I had to take a hunch, they're going to try to paint it as though Trump is a bully because he actually answers questions and basically points out that she's not answering anything. And I think if she plays the little victim card,
yeah,
then that will probably be the spin, and that will try to be the narrative that comes out of it.
I saw one report yesterday that said that the inside track is that Kamala's plan is to try and rattle Donald Trump to get him off his game and maybe make angry Donald come out, and the other side is to basically, you know, stay vague and somehow cast all the chaos of the last 4 years on Joe Biden as if she had nothing to do with it. That's what I've heard that the plan is.
I just don't think she's competent. I mean, what? She's just not going to be competent. I don't think she'd be that good. And I mean, like him or not, this is his stage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where he lives. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be a lot more about the post-op and what you do to fix it and Lee, how they spin it.
Lee, any final words on it?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think she's going to be able to knock him off his game. He's too good at this. As long as he listens to Tulsi, and that is something I had discussed this with Dee. That is something we did not ever expect to come out of our mouth. But if he listens to Tulsi and her suggestions, because she roundhouse kicked her in the mouth and ended her career in that one debate.
No doubt.
If he'll listen to that, then we'll have, I think you'll see the kind of performance we're hoping for.
All right. Next question before I run out of time. I got about 3.5 minutes here, so let's do this. Here's the deal. Trump announced today that he's going to form a new government efficiency commission. He's going to name Elon Musk to be the czar over this commission with the mandate to go and access all departments across government and find means of streamlining and creating efficiencies. Basically, it's designed to streamline government processes by using outside innovators and business leaders to come in and get her done with Elon Musk heading it up. Is it going to work? Is it a recipe for disaster? Will the deep state try to sabotage him? Give me all your thoughts. You're first this time, Butterman.
I think the way this team seems to be, the coalition that seems to be building, RFK, Tulsi, I think the deep state's going to be really scared about all of this. Elon Musk, that would be incredible if he could get in there. And, you know, honestly, so what if stuff breaks? It ain't exactly working great.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, I won't say any more. I'll let Lee go first. Lee, your thoughts on it?
I think that, Elon is great at streamlining. I mean, look what he did for X. I mean, I know a lot of people are talking smack about how it's doing, but he went in and fired, 90% of the people, and it still worked. So I'm saying he understands about streamlining. He understands about profitability. He understands about duplication of positions. He understands the waste. And I mean, God knows the government has 100,000 times the waste of X. So I'm just saying, I think he's great for this position. And I wholeheartedly agree.
I think one of my favorite moments watching a private sector do its thing and also beat back liberalism at the same time was when he bought X and he walked in the front door carrying an actual kitchen sink in his hands. And said he had told him, I'm bringing everything and the kitchen sink. And he literally walked in, he carried a kitchen sink in, he set it down in the lobby and he went to work. Go ahead.
The only other thing I'd throw out is Elon, I mean, he doesn't know. I mean, there's no benefit to him. He'd really be, I mean, Yeah. He's not trying to get favors out of Trump by doing something like that. So
that's a great point. In fact, he said he's going to do it for free on his own time. So,
hey. Does the man have time? Okay.
We know he has money. Time, too. Wow. All right. Hey, let's round one of Butters and Lee. We're going to take a break right now. We come back from this break, and this is where we flip the script. I asked them questions in the first round, and they asked me questions the second round. I just wait with bated breath to see what's going to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Liberals loathe and fear this show, and I love it. All right, we're going right back now to round two with Butters and Lee. This is where they ask me questions. I don't even know what's coming yet. Ladies first. Lee, what you got?
Okay, so the agents, the story about the agents for President Trump at the rally where he was shot.
Yeah.
You've seen the news out today that I think only three were possibly actual legit Secret Service. The others were Homeland Security agents of some kind. And they had a 2-hour video to press them, which didn't apparently even work correctly half the time, the video. My question for you is this just purposeful to send him into the lion's den in times where they knew that he had various threats with people who just aren't prepared?
Yes. And so am I going to say that they knew the shooter would be that day and there that day, and they wanted him to have less protection than what Biden would have experienced? I can't say that, but what I do know is this. They could care less about Donald Trump. His security was their secondary concern. And so they put what I would call unqualified individuals on a presidential security detail, which is supposed to be the pinnacle of duty in the Secret Service, you know, entire resume builder. You don't go in the Secret Service so you can be the low tier guy who does the things that nobody ever knows about. Everybody who goes in the Secret Service wants the opportunity to serve at the presidential detail level, and they're not just guarding, you know, his children off at college. They're guarding him. And so there you have a former president of the United States.
With active threats.
Exactly, with active threats. And there he is in an open forum, and they've got untrained individuals. By the way, when you watch the video, you can pretty much pick out which ones we're talking about, too. I mean, you can look at them and okay, that one is tactically, lacks proficiency. And this one over here looks like she's never even held her firearm, much less tried to holster it under duress. And then,
exactly.
I mean, there was zero muscle memory there on how to handle herself. The bottom line is that's super, super, you know what? I was about to say frustrate. Frustrate is not even a good enough word. This is a guy who held the nuclear codes. This is a guy who holds, you know, every security clearance possible because he's been the commander in chief. This is a guy who's soon to be very likely the president again. And they put like the Keystone Cops in charge of his detail. It makes no sense. And it's galling. It's absolutely galling. Now you got me all mad. I'm all lathered up now, Lee. Been having a good show. And you go in here and you just go in here and just pee on my cornflakes. That's just awful.
Well, right. Let me stir it up a little bit more.
Oh my gosh!
Is that the exception, or is that the norm now in the Secret Service and the rest of the government? Mediocrity.
Well, you know what? You bring up a point because I just did a whole segment on DEI before y'all came on. The government is still doubling down on DEI, which means they're not hiring or advancing on merit. They are hiring and advancing based upon an agenda or a demographic. And that is a recipe for disaster. That's how bad things happen to good people. That's how bad things happen to bad people, for that matter. But the reality is, that's an awful situation that never should have been allowed to happen. Was that your question, Butters? Are we done?
That was a
gimme. That was a throwaway question. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh yeah. That was just a bonus.
All right, what do you got?
Trying to earn some extra points.
What do you got?
Okay, so a little gentler topic, illegal immigration. So the article
y'all are determined to tick me off.
From the Coleman County Sheriff, this robbery that happened with illegal.
Yeah.
Thinking about the issues they've been having in Albertville with pilgrims bussing Haitians over and pulling in a bunch of, and then all the stuff going on in Colorado. And then when we look across the pond and you see what's going on in the UK in particular, is the state of Alabama ready for what they may very possibly be coming?
No.
Are we ready?
No, but we're more ready. We're more ready than there's different categories of where states are on illegal immigration. By the way, did you read my I've got a stack here. My next section is called Illegal Illegals and talking about crime committed by illegals just in the state of Alabama. So that's like you're all up in my business right now. But in a good way. But the reality is, no, Alabama is still not ready, even though I would say that we're more ready than most. It's like we're a state that is more prepared for hurricane force winds because we deal with them on a regular basis than the state of Tennessee might be, because they're farther north of the shorelines. And when the storms advance all the way up, they got to deal with it maybe in a harder way than we would. That's a bad analogy, I know. But all that to say, there is no way for any state to be as fully prepared for the chaos that the Biden-Harris administration has been allowed to ensue on our southern border. Right now, every state is a border state. That's a talking point, but it's real. And the crime being committed by people who aren't even supposed to be here is reaching epic levels in some parts of the nation. And we are not immune. We're seeing it. Now, I'll say this. We have good legislation in place. We have legislators who care. And we also have law enforcement that cares. And more than in a lot of other states, this law enforcement in Alabama, local and state, tends to have the backing of their community to go get her done. But how do you prevent everything, you know?
So is this going to fall? So this was, you know, a county sheriff. Who's going to be, as I know, up in Albertville, a lot of it's fallen on the mayor and the city councils. Is that who we need to be looking at to be prepared to handle all this?
In part, but I'll be honest with you, we need to make sure that the city councils and the mayors are actually back in their blue.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Recently, I talked to the Marshall County Sheriff at an event.
He's a great guy.
Phil Sims. Albertville. He is, but he's not concerned at all about the immigration and the Haitians. And he said one of his people that works in his office is Haitian. She's great. And he thinks they're all just going to assimilate just fine. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but he's not talking about illegal crime. I've been up to Marshall County and had the Sheriff's Department tour me on some bad seed areas. So he's talking about folks that are here legally who are working to assimilate into the community. And I don't think Phil Sims is the kind of guy who's going to blow off illegal crime or just turn a blind eye to it. The other piece of this, though, too, is that Coleman sheriff in the article that I've got right here, the one you were talking to, Butters, he flat out said the headline was, "I'm pissed." That was his words, because this was a crime that would not have happened had the person not been allowed to come through the border like they were. They were actually checked at the border and then committed a crime in his district. And that's an awful set of circumstances.
They're raping and killing women over the U.S. and children. And none of this is getting enough attention, nor does the media or anybody else seem to care.
Well, more to come. All I know is I think this election is going to have a huge impact on the ups or downs of that whole issue. All right, you guys, Butters and Lee, as always, that flew by, but thank you for what you do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3, coming up. Y'all stay tuned.